And welcome to this special episode of Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-host with me today will be Mike Gregg, David Hulley, and Yanis Janaeus. In this episode, it'll center around the foam fixtures that were released on Wednesday. We have much to get through, but before we do anything, I have to welcome one of my co-hosts back to the show, Mr. Mike Gregg. How you doing?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Doing really well, and looking forward to talking Fulham again on the show.
Yeah, Mike, listen, it's been a while. You and I were just talking off air. I can't remember the last time we talked. It's probably been about 10 days, and that's a long time for us.
Well, it's the phony period at the moment, isn't it? There's not much going on, but there's a few transfers happening this week, and you can just feel the Football League and the Premier League, even though the Euros is going on, just sort of starting to rumble and, become a bit more busy, and I expect a lot to happen over the next 2 or 3 weeks.
I totally agree. In fact, I was looking at what's coming up, say, next week, comparing it to last year, and I think that last year, next week would be when we started to see some movement. I believe we saw some movement a year ago this week with Ben Pringle, but I think we saw some movement, I want to say, which would be next week and coming after that is when we should hopefully see some players come in. Looks like we got someone else on the line with us. I think it's Mr. Hulley. David, is this you?
You are correct. You are Russ. Hello, Russ. Hello, Mike.
Okay. How are you doing, David? It's been a while since I've talked to you.
Well, apart from a bit of politics yesterday, yes, it's been a while. I'm afraid working life is not doing me very many favours at the moment, but air conditioning offices, commuting on trains with people with germs, but never mind.
Oh, okay, David. I'm sorry to hear that. Your schedule, and are you feeling okay, David?
No, I've just got a rotten cold, unfortunately, and so.
Okay.
It's been really humid today here, actually. I did actually play tennis this afternoon, and I was feeling pretty rough when I came home. It's quite sticky and oppressive here. But no, I just got a rotten cold. You know how these things are.
Yep.
Pain in the backside. Pain in the backside to shift them, but I think it's kind of the lack of sleep and everything. Not eating properly. Travelling up and down on trains, underground trains. And I have a 2.5-hour commute to Motspur Park from here. So, it's taking its toll on me, but I'll get through it. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you could join us, and hopefully Yanis will be joining us in a couple minutes. While we wait for Yanis, I want to start with discussing Mike's article that he posted on Viva El Foam. It is the official Football League released and retained list for the club. So, Mike, I'm going to turn it over to you. Just talk a little bit about this list. It has the released players. It also has the retained players. But as you wrote here, it says offer. When you see offer, it indicates players who are under the age of 24 years, whose current contracts expire on June the 30th, 2016, and to whom the club has made an offer of re-engagement. Just explain a little bit about these lists. Are you with me, Mike? Did I lose Mike?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay.
You admit that, unfortunately.
That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it came from the English Football League, as it's called now. All the clubs have to supply them with a list of retained and released players, and that's all done sort of leading up to the last week in May. And the club, of course, had already told us who they'd released, but this list today at least shows the scholars, so the youngsters who I was concerned about, they're all staying, and that we've made offers to people like, Josh Smile, Abibayo, and a couple of others as well. And the list does include everyone who was at the club on the 23rd of May, so people like Mitroglou, Lonergan, they were still on that list. But the offers that are made to the youngsters, what that's basically doing is the club have to offer the same or better contract for the player to be retained. And when I say retained, I mean their registration retained, which means if they're under 24 and they decide, no, I don't want this contract, I want to go to another club, then we're entitled to a transfer fee if we can negotiate that, or compensation like we did with Heidman last week. So a little bit more information we got from that today. So people who follow me know I do that spreadsheet. So, you know, I've updated it. There's still a couple of names that I need to check and contract lengths. But the squad is greatly reduced from last year, that's for sure. And so there's, you know, as David and a few others have said on Twitter this week, you know, there's a lot of work to do between now and when the fixtures start on the 5th of August.
Absolutely. Players should be, hopefully, should be coming in soon because we need players at this point. All right, guys, while we wait for Giannis, he's having troubles connecting, unfortunately, with Blog Talk Radio. Hopefully he'll be joining us shortly. I've got a couple bonus topics for you guys, bonus, before we talk about the fixtures. And, Mr. Holly, I'm going to start with you. I want to get your thoughts on Dan Byrne today signing with Wigan. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm pleased to see that Dan has found another club quickly. I think, you know, he's been a credit to Fulham, despite some people's concerns about his abilities. You know, a very good, loyal club man, a nice guy as well. Always gives his best, and I'm sure, you know, Wigan have appreciated those qualities. I mean, it kind of suggests that, you know, the level they're at, they feel that he would be, you know, that their sort of player. I mean, I think it would have been a shock had we seen Dan Byrne go to a higher rated club or supposedly higher rated club. You know, they've just come back up, but you know, it's interesting to see what people's ambitions are, because we had this discussion in the week about, you know, Fulham should be really signing new players, and Mike has been one of the persons who said, well, no one's really been buying anyone yet. But how many clubs in the Championship have aspirations of trying to be promoted or reach the playoffs? I mean, does everyone start the season saying that's our ambition? Because that's a pretty high ambition to have. Are there some clubs who just guarantee, you know, happy to be guaranteed the safety of staying in the division, and that is their real target? Because obviously the clubs that really do want the momentum to try and get out of the division are the ones who need to be buying the players. So I feel that the fact that not many clubs have been moving, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, anything, because they may be happy with the squad they have already in the main. But Dan, you know, he's a lovely guy. It'd be interesting to see him obviously play against us this season. And I'm just pleased that him and also, of course, Sean Hutchinson have both found clubs. Okay, Sean a level lower, which is understandable, I think. But for Dan, this is probably, you know, in all honesty, he's never going to be snapped up by a Premier League club. I think, you know, if he can play regularly in the Championship, then I think he's doing okay for himself.
Okay, very good, David. And you beat me to the punch, because I was going to do it individually, but since you brought up Sean Hutchinson... quickly, your thoughts on him signing with Millwall?
Again, pleased for the guy. I think he's another footballer. We didn't see as much of him as Dan Byrne, but I think he's another 100% person, does his best, tries his best, and, you know, popped up a couple of times with goals, but also, you know, from day one, errors as well. And, you know, although he's taking a step down, I think, you know, hopefully for him, you know, and as any footballer would want, it's a step to take down to guarantee regular football, or to give you a good chance of regular football. Because that's, you know, I think any honest pro wants to be doing. They don't want to be sitting on the bench taking a wage packet, however good it is. But, you know, they want to be playing and playing regularly, because that's what you go into the game for. Certainly for me, it would be, I wouldn't be looking at the money. I'd be just looking to play regularly if I was a footballer. And I hope that's the same for Sean, and wish him all the best over at Millwall.
Yeah, I agree with that, David. I wish him the best. And you brought up a good point about probably the reason why he went to Millwall, because he'll hopefully get a chance to play regularly. That's a great point by you. Mike, over to you. Your thoughts on Sean Hutchinson signing with Millwall, and then, of course, Dan Byrne signing with Wigan.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a shame, really, looking back, that the two of them probably never played together enough. I mean, you know, two northeast lads, you know, no language problems there. And, yeah, you hoped that they would produce better. But in the end, you know, it didn't work out. Hutchison, I must admit, I lost faith with him very early on. I think he's done well. You know, he's staying in London for a start, which means he won't have to move. Millwall did well last year, so he's moving to a team that potentially is going to be a winning team, and so that's good for him. And likewise, a little way for Dan. You know, he's gone back up north, and Wigan have, you know, got promoted, so they're going to have some momentum behind them. And he is at worst a championship player. Hutchison, I'm not so sure about. And the thing about Dan Byrne is, for all the abuse and, you know, and sometimes it's deserved in the way he's played, but overall he's 100% player, give his best. And anyone who saw the last game and his commitment in that game when he realised he was leaving, you know, will have no doubts that he's a decent footballer. And and having spoken to him a few times, you know, a nice lad who loved Fulham, and I wish him all the best, and I just hope he has two very bad games when we play him.
I hear you there, Mike, but you know, I know that David has a fondness for him, and I'm glad that you had some nice things to say about Dan Byrne. I just want to talk about where he went. Do you think this is a good landing point for him going to Wigan?
Yeah, like I say, he gets a chance to go back up north, and having spoken to a couple of Wigan fans last week, because I was in that area on business, you know, they're playing decent football, and you know, they were a bit surprised that they got promoted, because in fact they stripped the team bare pretty much at the beginning of last season and didn't have long to gel the team at all. So going back to David's point about we need players in and very quickly, you know, I understand that, but as of Monday, just gone, there'd only been 20 players move into clubs within the Championship, and five of those were at one club. So it started to make movements this week, but I'm not going to panic at the moment. And, you know, the players will come in when they need be. We're going to talk about the fixtures, and I think the fact that the team we've got the first game is going to focus everyone's thoughts on not being embarrassed in that game and trying to get a team in place.
Oh, I definitely agree with you there, Mike. And, you know, just want to follow up real quickly about Sean Hutchinson. You're not sure that he's a championship player. You know, obviously he really didn't get a chance that much to play. Do you agree with David that this is probably a good place for him going down a league to play with Millwall?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in the end, you know, players of that ilk, you know, it doesn't really matter if they're playing in the Championship or League One. And like I say, he's going to a club which will be pushing for promotion. He's going to be in a winning side. So, you know, is it better to be in a winning side in League One than it is in a team struggling in the Championship? You know, so, yeah, he can get his confidence back. You know, he's a player with nearly 200 games behind him. So, you know, he has got something about him. But
right,
for me, a couple of weaknesses is his touch and his passing, and he could probably get away with that a bit more in League One.
Okay, excellent there, Mike. And okay, now we're going to transfer. We're going to now transition to talk about the fixtures. Before we do, I just want to mention that our friend Yanis Janaeus will not be joining us tonight. He's having some issues with Skype. He wanted to say hi to both of you and the audience. Unfortunately, he will not be joining us tonight. And Yanis, if you're listening, hopefully you can join us for an upcoming show and we can get this issue worked up, you know, fixed with Blog Talk Radio and Skype and get you back on. But he will not be joining us. So it'll just be the two of you guys. And, Mike, I'm going to start with you. Let's start with the opening fixture, Friday night, August 5th, against Newcastle United at Craven Cottage. When I saw this, I was excited about this. What are your thoughts about the opener at home?
I mean, it's you couldn't ask for a better game in one way. You know, I mean, it's the favourites, there's going to be lots of build up to it, you know, media wise, sky wise. And we're going to, like I said just a minute or two ago and said on Twitter yesterday, let's hope that it's going to focus the club on getting the team together ready for that first game, because the last thing you want is a Friday night game, launch of the Championship season, and a heavy defeat against the favourites. Now, you don't want to lose, but we could. But but it's the manner, isn't it? If we do lose, but so we need to be on our game, very, you know. And going to be really tough, and they're going to bring a lot of fans down. And, you know, we have to be ready. That's the most important thing for me of this game. The club, Jokanović, the players, they all have to be ready for that game. And I think it's actually the best thing that could happen, better than having, you know, Burton at home on the first day or something like that. There's no second chances with this. We're starting playing the favourites. Let's get it on. And, you know, those first dozen games are so important. And, you know, let's get this one out of the way, first of all.
Mike, I'm with you 100%, because when I saw this, I saw this as an opportunity. You know, pressure's on right off the bat against one of the favorites to win the league and get promotion. So why not at Craven Cottage? Get your act together early on, set the tone. This could be a tone-setting kind of match. Win or lose, it could really set a tone very early on, because like you mentioned, and you said this on Twitter, I agree with you. The first 12 matches, believe it or not, are key. So let's start with the first one. And I'm glad that they are facing Newcastle United. Like you mentioned, they're going to bring a ton of fans down. But I want the test early on. I want Slavisa and his team ready to go. So why not face a team like Newcastle United? I like the matchup. David, I know you have thoughts on this. What are your thoughts about the home opener?
Well, I've been a bit of a grump all week. I was very tired when I got back from London, and with this rotten cold as well. And, of course, we've got the EU stuff driving me mad as well here. So I've been in a foul mood all week, really. And then I saw it, and for me, it's my pet hate, I'm afraid. Friday night on Sky at Craven Cottage, it just fills me with dread, I'm afraid. It's just my gut reaction to that. For start, for me, it's a pain in the backside to get to. I don't get home until 1, 2 in the morning, a night match like that. I don't know, every time we have Sky at the cottage on a Friday night, not every time, but most times, we seem to do badly. Moose from TalkSport will probably be there. We do badly when he's there as well. We're thinking, my God, you know, throwing him at the deep end. We haven't made any player acquisitions yet, apart from obviously confirming Maddle to stay permanently. And I think, you know, it's going to be tough. You know, just what we need. On the other hand, as Mike kind of said, you know, if it was Burton, it's a different idea. I mean, if we do get beaten by Newcastle, I guess we have a bit of a cop-out because, you know, they are the favourites. We had a tough test. But do we want to start the season like that with a defeat live on TV in front of everyone? No, of course we don't. Which means, yeah, the task ahead is even tougher than we thought it would be, perhaps, because there's no messing around and, you know, using
right.
the whole of August, the transfer window like we do usually, and, you know, signing people at the end. We need to have people in place by then.
I totally agree.
You know, despite our misgivings and whether we're positive or negative about the forthcoming season, I think we're all in perfect agreement that, you know, we need 6, 8, 10 new players to come in. You know, we need a whole new team, literally, and there hasn't been any yet. So to get all these people in, to get them to fit together, to gel, hit the ground running, I mean, it's going to be a tough ask to start. But, you know, if we can pull it off, then, you know, people might start looking up and thinking, hold on a minute, this Fulham team have got a chance. You know, we can set our stall out. We can make others take note.
Exactly.
But as Mike said, if it goes badly, you know, we're going to be back to square one, and, you know, the doom and gloom from last year will come back very, very quickly, I think, on all the new season optimism, which you always get. We always have new season optimism, even me, Russ. But it'll be gone very quickly if we have a bad start.
David, I understand your trepidation about this, because it really could start the tone being negative if they lose. But, like I said, I'm a glass half full. What if they win? What if they get a result? What if they get a draw against Newcastle? What if this is a positive outcome here? Well, then you have something to build on, like you just said. Then all of a sudden, like, hey, maybe there's something here. And for me, David, this goes to your point about, you know, transfers coming in late. They don't have time to mess around. Like you said, they need players in now. They need to gel early because of the opponent coming to Craven Cottage. Very first match. So I want them under the pressure, David. I see this as a good thing, not a bad thing. We'll find out ultimately, you know, at that match. But I like the idea of playing them rather than playing, like Mike said, Burton Albion. I think this this really can set the tone, hopefully positively. I think you see where I'm going on this.
No, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, it's very much a knife edge, I think. You know,
yep.
The tone for the whole season could be set that night. A heavy
it could.
And last year's negativity could come back. A good result,
yep.
And people are going to take note and say, actually, maybe we can be one of the contenders this year.
Right. And I kind of like that kind of situation right off the bat. You know, with other teams that I followed, when they have this really tough opponent off the bat and say they get a victory, that can catapult you a far way. And I'm just saying, I like the fact that Newcastle's coming. It's a challenge. It's a huge challenge. And I say bring it. So I'm happy with this being the opener. All right, guys, let's now go a little bit further in to talk about August and September. So I'm going to read the fixtures to you and then get your take on it overall. We already mentioned the Newcastle United match Friday, August 5th. That has followed up the Saturday following on Saturday, August 13th, on the road at Deepdale against Preston North End. Only a few days later, we are on the road once again at Ellen Road, Tuesday, August 16th, to face Leeds United. Then we are home on Saturday, August the 20th, to face Cardiff City. The following Saturday, we are on the road at Ewood Park to face Blackburn Rovers. So that is your month of August. Then you look at September. It starts on September 10th at home against Birmingham City. That is followed up only a few days later on Tuesday, September 13th, against Burton Albion. And then that's followed up on Saturday, September 17th, on the road at the DW Stadium to face Wigan Athletic. The following Saturday, September 24th, we are home again to face Bristol City. And to end the month, we are on the road at City Ground to face Nottingham Forest on Tuesday, September 27th. So those are your fixtures for the first 2 months. And, Mike, I'll start with you. What are your thoughts about these fixtures for the opening 2 months of the season?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to talk about, you're going to ask later on, aren't you, what's the most difficult and easiest parts of the season, or can
yes.
we talk about it now?
We can
really,
mention it now if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get what I've done is I've sort of looked at the 23 other teams and put them in a kind of order that I think they're going to be for the season. And I've done a bit of my data stuff, Russ, which I know you like. And so basically, I mean, the first 10 games are nearly as easy as you're going to have. You know, in fact, it's, you know, you look at it, once you get Newcastle out of the way, you know, the first month, three away games, a couple of home games, but of course that balances out in September. But really, you look at that, and I'm a big believer in the league table pretty much sets itself between 10 and 15 games. So once we get into October, playing another couple of games, 12 games in, you look at a league table, it's not going to change much come the end of the season. And by that, I mean, if anyone wants to look back at the league table after 12 games last year, five of the top six were in the top six at the end of the season. So, you know, you've got to start well. And quite frankly, we have a fairly, you know, if I go look, for me looking at it, we have as good a start as we could probably get fixture-wise. You know, they're low to middling teams, really, apart from Newcastle, as far as I'm concerned. And so whatever the Newcastle result over August and September, we have to come out of that, you know, have to be in the top six, you know, accumulate points. Otherwise, you know, that will set the season off and we'll be, you know, wherever we are, mid-table, bottom half, you know, because if you can't get results from those games, you know, you might as well pack up, really.
No, very good, Mike. And I'm glad that you brought this up right now, because I was going to say when we get there that I think a very pivotal part of the season really is September. I know, obviously, the month of August is pivotal to get off to a good start. You're talking about the first 12 games. September is an opportunity to really set the tone. You know, here I am calling set the tone for for the first match against Newcastle United. But you have an opportunity. Again, we don't know how all these teams are going to look when we get there, but we're just going on past experience. There's an opportunity here. The month of September, and then even going into the early October, like you mentioned, Mike, you know, we'll talk about October in a little bit, because if you factor in the next two matches, you're looking at QPR at home and Barnsley away. So, again, the opportunity is there, Mike, to be in the top six if they get the business done. The matches are there for them. I think that's the point you're trying to make. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, they are. You know, you take September, Birmingham at home, it won't be easy, and they turned us over, you know. But you've got to look at that as a game you need to get a result. If you're going to be challenging, you need to get a result from that. And then you've got Burton and Wigan, two teams that have come up, Bristol City and Forest. Again, these are, you know, they're four teams you should be looking at, if not four wins, you shouldn't be looking at losing any of those, because if you're going to be challenging. And then, you know, in August, you know, Blackburn away, Cardiff at home, Leeds away. They're all tough games. The thing is, if anyone wants to list the 24 teams in the Championship and try and put them in an order, it's a tough league. And, apart from maybe three or four you can stick at the bottom, putting them in any kind of order is very difficult. But, for me, I just look at those first 12 games and think you've got to come out of that. You've got to come out of that with, you know, seven or eight wins at least if you're going to consider yourself to be challenging, because I'll talk about it in a minute. The games following that are the hardest, you know, some of the hardest we've got.
Absolutely, and we'll get to that in a bit, but I have to get David's thoughts on this. David, what are your thoughts of the first 2 months of the season?
I almost felt some deja vu there with Mike saying we're looking for seven or eight wins out of 12. Reminded me of what you said last season, Russ, and the alarm bells are ringing already. We don't know, obviously, what the other teams are going to be like, and we don't know what we're going to be like. So, as you said, we can only look at past history. But when I look at past history, I don't feel these fixes are easy by any means, not to be taken for granted. You know, we don't know how well we'll start. A bad result against Middlesbrough, you know, I sort of admit as well, Newcastle could, really set the tone. But I look at it and I think, well, obviously that's a tough match. Preston away, we're not very good going up to these northwest places. Preston did okay last year, really, but probably a lot better than most people expected. Leeds away, Tuesday night up north, usually pretty poor for us as well. Cardiff at home, a jinx side in recent times, really, aren't they? And Craig, no one seems to score every time against us. We do really badly against Cardiff. And then Blackburn away. Yes, I'm putting a deliberate negative Nancy slide on it here. But, you know, Blackburn away, again, another northwest fixture away.
Yeah.
In previous seasons, at least, we could go through all of these games without getting a win. Based on last season and based on our kind of situation with teams like Cardiff and going up north. So that worries me a bit, really, when I look at that.
Okay.
Might not be easy. Then, of course, Birmingham at home. You know, Birmingham did okay last year. They turned us over the cottages, as you remember. So, again, nothing to be taken for granted. And it's not until we get to Burton, really. Burton is the first match I look at and say, yes, that's definitely a match that we would win. Or we should be winning. Obviously, we should be winning a lot of them. Like Mike was saying, if we want to be contenders and challengers, we have to be winning them. It's not
I agree.
Burnley, you think, yes, that's Burnley, Burton, that's an easy fixture. Wigan away, who knows? Again, another northwest trip for Fulham. We don't like these northwest trips very much. Wigan, maybe, you know, we're a Premier League team not so long ago. Maybe they're going to be going for it, who knows? Bristol City, yes, on the face of it, an easy fixture, but look what happened last year. One of the matches we thought we would, you know, win easily at home, didn't turn out like that. And then Forest away on a Tuesday night, again, we're just not very good on Tuesday night fixes. Last year at Forest, you know, Mike and I were there. We were abysmal. We started brightly, but we just crumbled. And they turned us over. And they turned us over the year before that as well. So take nothing for granted. Take nothing for granted with these things. We could easily be at the end of September with, you know, one win under our belt, literally. I mean, I hope it doesn't come to that, of course. And if it has come to that, then, you know, the season is, you know, getting close to being a write-off again. Not completely,
right.
Because you can turn things around, but out of those, the only one that stands out on me as an easy winnable fixture is Burton. All the others are very much unknown quantities. I mean, Burton could be an unknown quantity, but I don't think anyone would put money on them to do well next year. But all the others, who knows what will happen. Bristol City, based on last year, yes, is a winnable game as well. But I think some of those others are potentially tough matches. We will certainly not be taking anyone lightly.
I agree, Dave.
Previous years, I think, you know, we felt we were too good for this league, perhaps. We'd come down from the Premier League, people thought it would perhaps be a cakewalk. You know, we were unlucky to come down from the Premier League, perhaps, and therefore the Championship would be a cinch. But we weren't unlucky to come down from the Premier League. We weren't good enough to stay there. And unfortunately, it's been a rude awakening the last couple of seasons. It really has. And so unless there's something, you know, real marked progress made in the next few weeks, new players and a new kind of spirit in the club, don't take anything for granted. This might not be an easy start.
It might not, David, but the flip side of your argument that it could be difficult, and there is no easy team in this league. You guys are both right, and Mike has already said that as well. We've learned that. We know that. This is the third season. We know this. We're heading into this now. I'm not going to disagree with you. But when I look at the fixtures, and when I look at these 2 months, besides Newcastle United, as Mike had said, most of these teams are mid-level teams, are mid-table teams. So can they beat us? Yes. Can we beat them? Absolutely. Besides Newcastle United, Newcastle United is above and beyond all these other teams on these first 2 months. If they do something against Newcastle United, get a result that sets the tone, David, and they get the results that Mike, the wins that Mike is talking about, this is when you can really set the season on a positive way to get to be in that top six discussion. These first 2 months, these first 12 matches, you can add on QPR at home and Barnsley away, like I mentioned. But David, the flip of this is you're talking about that there's no easy match, that we could lose all of them. But David, we could win them all as well.
Well, who knows? Without a crystal ball, who actually knows these things? Yes,
that's the point.
Of course. But yeah. I think, you know, I don't think we should be taking things too lightly.
I totally agree with you on that.
I'm speaking from a position at the moment where, of course, we have last year's squad and even less, you know, at the moment. There's been nothing added to the squad, remember. Nothing at all.
Right.
We have no left backs. We have half a right back. You know, we have a goalkeeper less. We have central defenders less. You know, it's nothing at the moment has come out and jumped out at me and said, this is great. I still need to see this real intent. And I've seen other people as well on Twitter commenting about it, that there's a few people almost feel that the club have, you know, cheated them in, you know, saying sign up for your season ticket next year and we're going to, you know, be doing well. And nothing's happened yet.
David, be honest on that. And I understand some fans that feel this way. They're getting apprehensive. They're getting worried because nothing's been done yet. Do you really believe they're not going to sign players?
They cannot afford not to sign players because...
Exactly.
If we don't go out and sign players now, we could be looking at a relegation season based on
right,
last
David,
year,
they know that.
Last year's form.
Right,
with
right, David,
year,
that's
last
why...
Last year's form, yeah, last year's form and less players even than last year, it doesn't look good for our prospects. So, of course, they have to go out and sign things. Of course they have to go out and sign players. But I'd like to see them a bit more urgency there. If we haven't really even been linked with anyone, not seriously as well. That's the other thing.
Yeah, but David, I've seen over the last couple of years, especially under Khan, they are trying very hard to keep these stories under wraps. And just because we're not hearing about it, and I know we all want to hear the speculation, doesn't mean that nothing's going on. So I think something's going on. I think we're going to see some moves. Hopefully very soon, maybe as early as next week. Who knows, maybe over the weekend. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that they're not going into this season with this team. They're not doing that, the team constituted right now. They're going to add players. But I understand everyone's fear here because nothing's happened yet. But if you look across the league, there have been not that many moves. Mike, you've mentioned that as well. There has not been that many moves. Let's give them some time. Let's see it all play out before we think the worst. Maybe we'll be surprised, pleasantly surprised, with some of the players coming in, but only time will tell. All right, guys, let's move on. Let's now look at the months of October through November. So let's go there right now, and I'll read those to you. And as I've mentioned before, we start with Queens Park Rangers at home on Saturday, October the 1st. It's followed up 2 weeks' time against Barnsley away. And then it's Tuesday, October 18th. We are home against Norwich City. Then we are away to Aston Villa at Villa Park on Saturday, October the 22nd. We are then home Saturday, October 29th against Huddersfield Town. Then we transition to November. We are then away Saturday, November 5th at Griffin Park against Brentford. Then we're home Saturday, November 19th against Sheffield Wednesday. We all know how hard that's going to be. And then Saturday, November 26th, the following week, we are away at Brighton & Hove Albion at the Amex Stadium. All right, Mike, I'm going to go to you. Again, it's super early to look at the teams because all the teams haven't really filled out to what they're going to be when the season starts because the transfer season is really just beginning. But on the face of it, when I look at the schedule, we're talking about easiest and hardest, I see these 2 months as probably the hardest part of the schedule. Would you agree?
No, not slightly. Okay. But I just want to come back very quickly. I mean, this show's going to take a long time. We're going to do every game. But
okay.
I just want to go back to David's point. No one's taken anything lightly. Yes, the club need to get players in. But what we're doing here is looking at fixtures, looking at the 23 teams we've got to play, and you've got to put them in some kind of order. So you look at those first 2 months, and you've got to say, no, Birmingham isn't easy. Wigan won't be. We could go for every game and give a reason for us to lose every game. But as it is, if you break it down into some kind of order, we all know that Newcastle, Norwich, probably Villa, Wednesday, Derby, Brighton, they're all going to be up there somewhere. So, there's six teams straight away. And so the rest are going to be middle into lower teams. And they're the teams you've got to, at this point, look at and say, those first 12 games is our best opportunity to get a load of points and be in a good position at that point. If we're mid-table, I'll say it right now, if we're mid-table after those 12 games, anywhere from, 10th or below, forget it. That season's a write-off. We're not going to make the playoffs because those 12 games are where you get those points. And then you're talking about October and November, Russ.
Yep.
Yeah. Get QPR and Barnsley out of the way. And then you've got Norwich, Villa, Huddersfield, Brentford, Sheffield Wednesday, Brighton. I mean, four of those teams are in what I consider will probably be the top six.
Right.
Top six or seven. And it's not the hardest run we have. That comes almost towards the end of the season. But that's why those 12 games that begin with are so important. We have to get points there. Because you could look at those six games and, yeah, I could go through them and say, yeah, we're going to lose every one apart from Huddersfield. But, no one knows anything at the moment. All it is just guessing. But I'm looking at it from the point of view is I want to be challenging. So this is what we required. And, yeah, those 2 months, or certainly after the first two games in October, those six games in a row are deadly. And
yes.
But that's why we need to bank points in those first 12 games.
I hear you, Mike. And it's funny because after I said that, I took a look at the second half of the season near the end of the season, and I see why you said it's not the hardest part, and we'll talk about that in a little bit because I just took another glance and I said, oh, okay, I see where Mike's going on that. But this is a very hard part of the season as well. David, your thoughts on these 2 months?
I think I agree that on the face of it, we're looking at it on paper, we know nothing yet. These are potentially harder than the opening 2 months overall. I mean, it begs the question, how long will our hoodoo over Queen's Park Rangers continue? Because, they've made us look like Barcelona the last few years. But, is that going to happen next year? Will the tide turn? So that's one. If hopefully we can keep up. And Barnsley away, who knows again? You know, some of these northern places are quite tough to go to. But most certainly it gets tougher after that. We've got our old friends Norwich back on,
yeah.
You know, in town. Then followed by Villa. I think Villa's an enigma because I've seen two camps of thought with Villa. On one hand, you expect them to be challenging to get back. On the other hand, they could do like a Newcastle or a Wolves and go on a plummet, really, you know, going to freefall, like we almost did. So we don't know what Villa are going to turn up, because the Villa that dropped out of the Premier League last year are probably a worse team than the Fulham that dropped out of the Premier League, you know, a couple of years ago. So, you know, Villa might, you know, underwhelm everybody. Then Huddersfield at home, maybe the easiest one on paper out of this one. Brentford away, well, you know, just brings back horror memories from last couple of seasons, really, there. Sheffield Wednesday, yeah, we think they're going to be doing well. And Brighton, obviously, they're kicking themselves that they missed out on the promotion last season in the playoffs. And you think they would be, you know, doubly determined to do better this year. However, that didn't work for Derby in the end. You know, Derby actually, after missing out the previous season, were slightly worse last year, if anything.
Right.
So, you know, the first season we were down, Derby, you know, I think Mike would agree, the first half of the season, Derby were head and shoulders above everyone, but it just fell away. But, you know, you'd expect a reaction from Brighton. You'd expect a reaction from Sheffield Wednesday, who missed out narrowly, of course. And so I agree with you that, you know, that is a tough set of fixtures again in there, with potentially, you know, QPR, if we can carry on our jinx against them, and maybe the Huddersfield one, really, I suppose, the easiest ones out of that spell.
Yeah, it's challenging. Let's just say that. That's why I think it's so key, those first 12 matches. I'm glad that Mike has really identified, because I was focusing on 10, but you really can talk about the next two, because those are, on paper, you know, it's just on paper, they're winnable. But then after that, it really gets difficult. All right, guys, let's transition to December. And what I thought I would do, I initially was just going to have you comment on Boxing Day, but I'm gonna do the month of December altogether, and then I want you to comment specifically on the final two matches, Ipswich Town away, which is Boxing Day, then of course on December 31st against Reading away, two away matches to end the year. So again, I'll just read them to you, and then David, I'll go to you first. We start Saturday, December 3rd against Reading at home. That is followed up Saturday, December 10th. On the road at Molyneux, a very tough place. Fulham have had a hard time at Molyneux when they played Wolverhampton Wanderers. That's followed up a few days later, Tuesday, December 13th, at home against Rotherham United. That is then followed up on Saturday, December 17th, at home against Derby County. Then, right after that, we have these two matches that I really want your thoughts on as well. It's Monday, December 26th, Boxing Day, Ipswich Town away. And then we end the year Saturday, December 31st at the Majeski against Reading. Okay, David, thoughts on December, the December fixtures?
Well, Reading at home, you know, that Reading were doing okay last year, but we put in a strong performance against them. So, you know, that's a game we need to be looking to win. I think Wolves away will be a tougher proposition. You know, Wolves have been there or thereabouts. Maybe Wolves are going to decide next season is the season for them to have a run at getting back to the Premier League. So, yeah, I expect, you know, expect a strong challenge from them. Rotherham at home, probably the easiest one of the month, I would say, really, on paper. Rotherham have never really amounted to much in this league. I don't expect them to put a strong challenge in. Derby, going to be tough, I think, as well. Ipswich away is always tough. And Reading again, so twice in a month for Reading,
yeah.
Of course.
Hey, David, I got to drop off for 1 second. Just continue on, okay?
That's fine, yeah. I mean, obviously, in terms of Ipswich on Boxing Day, Mike, you know, goes to you in a sec, because I know you have discussions in your, you know, Fulham Supporters Trust capacity with the policing of matches. But this is a poor fixture for Fulham fans, really. Ipswich is a long way to get to on Boxing Day, isn't it? Without any public transport whatsoever. Time and time again, you know, the question is, why don't we get something more local? I mean, Reading would have been a better choice, obviously Brentford or QPR. even more so. But, you know, how do you feel about the fact that we've got to get to Ipswich on Boxing Day with no transport, Mike?
Well, I mean, can you hear me,
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's the, is it the fourth year now, a Boxing Day game, and that we've been away just so Chelsea can have the home game? I mean, it's ridiculous. And yeah, I mean, no public transport. Yeah, Reading would have been the better option. So, you know, it's going to be coaches and cars for people who want to get to that game. I suppose the only plus point is that it is at least in the south, but, you know, we've still got to get around the M25. And, you know, but, for, you know, people like yourself who travel by train a lot, there's absolutely zero chance of getting to that game. I mean, it's also odd, December, you know, topped and tailed with Reading. You know, there's always one team you end up playing, you know, pretty close together. But I don't know if I ever recall playing in the same month twice. But it's a tough month. And, you know, like we've said, you know, every game is tough. But, you know, there's difficult games there. And, you know, the fact we're away twice in Christmas week is a bit galling. You'd like to have, you know, one home game. But yeah, I mean, Boxing Day is... I do wonder whether, you know, how much longer Boxing Day games can go on without any transport, because I don't think they get the crowds that they really want.
No, that's right. I mean, it was always traditionally a local derby on Boxing Day, but I think it's obviously something that the police have got involved with and they don't want the hassle of it. But it's, once again, it's the common fan that suffers. In my case, it's probably one of the better options for Boxing Day, because at least I can drive to Ipswich from where I live in, you know, in less of a time than it would take me to get to London, actually, if anything. So I'm probably one of the exceptions to the rule. But for the rest of you guys, it's a long way to go, you know, getting around the M25, you say, other side of London. And so that's going to hit, you know, I guess the ability of the supporters to get there. Won't take such a good crowd. You know, why on earth didn't they make even Reading that match? Because, you know, that's pretty easy to get to, really, isn't it? We all live in sort of West London, South West London, most of the Fulham fans. Reading's an easy one. You think they'd employ a bit of brain sometimes with the way they arrange these things, but obviously the views and the needs of the common fan are a long way down the list compared to whatever else is there. But, you know, I hand it back over to Ross. You're back now, Ross, aren't you?
I am back, David. Thank you very much for taking over for just a few minutes, but you did a great job, as always, and very interesting talk about these two matches. So if I'm reading you correctly, David, it obviously, you know, for you, Ipswich Town is easy, but for everyone else, it's harder, right? I mean, is that basically the point you were making?
Well, it's one of the easier grounds to drive to for me if I have to drive. Yeah, as Mike said, I prefer taking the train, sit there and relax, and you can get into Twitter and whatever else and stuff. But if I have to drive, Ipswich is one of the easier ones. It's as easy, if not easier, for me than it is for guys from London. But I'm, you know, one person who lives in Lincolnshire. I don't represent the majority of the fan base. So,
sure.
They've been shafted, really, I have to say.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad that you said that and brought that up. And this has been a consistent thing. So this deals with the police and the C word, David. Is this the reason why they're always on the road now on Boxing Day?
It does seem, you know, as Mike unfortunately said, the name of the other team, that obviously they're much more popular and favourite, and they seem to be getting some sort of preferential treatment. That's all you can assume, I guess, really. You think it would be only fair, if nothing else, that we take it in turns, you know, one year for us, one year for them. That would be
it's wrong. It does seem that way, David. It does seem that way, though, David.
No, it does. It seems that, as I say, and you know, the question, as I said again, why not give us Reading away then?
I agree.
How much does that really impact on the whole, you know, scheme of things if we have to be away to Reading? Because that would be, you know, the easiest of the journeys to get to, bar obviously Brentford, you know, or QPR, really. So why not do that? You know, why does someone not stick their hand up and say, hold on a minute, you know, let's think about the fans here. And it's not just, about this one. I think, obviously, there's a kind of a as a pattern throughout the season, and I don't know if you've noticed, I think all the midweek games are paired from what I've seen. Whoever we play at home midweek, we play away midweek, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, obviously. I noticed Burton is a midweek home and away. Forest is a midweek home and away. Leeds is a midweek home and away. Actually, Rotherham is not. Rotherham is one of the rare ones. Derby is, but there's quite a lot of the teams are paired home and away. But again, there's not very many easy matches midweek to get to, home or away. You know, do Rotherham fans want to be coming in the middle of December, just before Christmas, down to London at night? It's not ideal, is it? You know, and you know, yep. I think we all respect other fans' views and needs. And again, perhaps you have to look at the midweek games. If you have to play games midweek, and we do at the moment, we have to have 9 midweek games, I believe, in the Championship, or around that order in the league. Why not look to play your more local games as the midweeks? I don't know. That's a bit, it's a question for another day, anyway.
Okay, very good there, David. Let's move on. Let's transition to the second part of the season. And let's start with the month of January. We are now at Monday, January 2nd. We are home against Brighton and Hove Albion. That's followed by in a couple weeks' time, Saturday, January 14th. We are home again against Barnsley. That is followed up on Saturday, January 21st, on the road at Loftus Road against QPR. Then the following Saturday, January 28th, we are home against Blackburn Rovers. Then that Tuesday, I'm glad that you brought up Burton Albion. We are on the road at the Pirelli Stadium on, I'm sorry if I didn't mention Tuesday, January 31st against Burton Albion. Then we move to February, and we are then at home Saturday, February 4th against, we're away against Birmingham City. That's followed up by Saturday, February 11th. We are home against Wigan Athletic. We are home a few days later, Tuesday, February 14th against Nottingham Forest. Then on Saturday, February 18th, we are away at Ashton Gate to face Bristol City. And the end of February is Saturday, February 25th. We are on the road once again to face Cardiff City. All right, Mike, what are your thoughts about this part of the season?
Well, I mean, we've spoken about we've got that hard run, and then we've got December, which is a bit of a mixed bag, but it's still a tough month. But when you look at January and February, and you know, are they the teams that are going to be challenging? And you have to say, you know, probably not. You know, Brighton are going to be there, thereabouts maybe. Who knows about QPR? But the rest are going to be middling, I would say, to the lower end. Certainly Burton, I think, will be at the bottom. So you've got to look at these 2 months as a bit of a respite after, you know, October, November, December. But it's going to be where we need to accumulate points again. I mean, it's nice to have a home game, you know, straight away in the new year. But potentially, you know, with the FA Cup as well, we could have, depending on the draw, 3 home games in a row, which, you know, when you talk about finances, travel, that kind of thing after Christmas, could be a bit tough for people. And then, of course, QPR away, so you've got a local derby, which people will try and get to. But, yeah, I mean, I see this again as, you know, 2 months where we need to, if we're challenging, where we're going to pick up points, you know, before we get to the horrendous run, which is, coming up. But none of them are easy, you know, and that's what we keep saying.
They're all hard.
They are all hard, but, you know, it's if you've got aspirations, if we've built a team that's thereabouts, then we have to look at these 10 games, and you have to be looking at getting, you know, 18, 20 points from it if you're going to be challenging top 6.
Okay. Very good, Mike. Before I go back to David, I know you mentioned a little bit about December. Did you get a chance to really have your say about December? I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, no, we spoke about, Boxing Day, and it's a mixed bag of a month, but, it's as hard as any of them, but, that's fine.
Okay, very good. David, over to you for the first 2 months of 2017.
Well, I hope to God, for starters, that they keep the Brighton match on the Monday, the bank holiday Monday. Yes, it's only 2 days after the Reading match, but last year they moved some of the bank holiday Monday matches to Tuesday. So I don't want another Tuesday evening match coming down when we've got a bank holiday Monday for a perfect fixture against Brighton. So let's keep it there, because I think that'll be good for us. Then obviously the break for the FA Cup, as we say. Barnsley at home, definitely winnable. QPR away, who knows. Blackburn at home, definitely winnable. Burton away, definitely winnable. And just one other thing I noticed about January, again, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but normally we have a break at the FA Cup fourth round weekend in January. But I've noticed that that doesn't seem to be the case this year. So maybe they're trying to spread the fixtures out a little bit on the hope that, you know, some teams are going to be knocked out anyway by then, and therefore they can save having an extra midweek game. So the Blackburn match, I think, at home is obviously subject to us getting knocked out of the cup, or if either us or Blackburn are in the cup still, that match will have to be rescheduled, I imagine. Into February, of course, away to Birmingham is going to be, you know, a tough one. Wigan at home, hope to do okay. Forest at home, likewise. Bristol City away, well, last year was fantastic. Let's hope it can continue that way. Cardiff, for me, is, you know, potentially the hardest one again that month. It's just, we just don't seem to do very well at Cardiff. Got to go down there at the end of February. In fact, we have, you know, 2 weeks on the trot. We're away at West Country matches. We almost stay down there for the week. Make a holiday of it, perhaps. Go to Bristol and Cardiff for a week. Take in two Fulham matches. Take up the sunshine of February on the South Wales coast, perhaps, if you want to. If you've got nothing better to do, obviously. But, yeah, two matches in the same direction. So a bit of deja vu there for us. Cardiff is the tough one. I think Birmingham is the tough one in February as well. Otherwise, you know, as Mike says, this is a time to accumulate points.
I totally agree, David. All right. We're now going to talk about March, April, and May. And, boy, you know, when I'm looking at it right in front of me now, it's, as Mike has said, it's brutal. But I will go through it. Let's start with Saturday, March 4th. We are home against Preston North End. Then we are home a few days later, Tuesday, March 7th, against Leeds United. Then we are on the road Saturday, March 11th, against Newcastle United at St. James's Park. That's followed up on Saturday, March the 18th. We're home against Wolverhampton Wanderers. That's March. Here's April. April begins on the road at New York Stadium Saturday, April 1st, against Rotherham United. That's followed up only a few days later at the iPro Stadium, Tuesday, April 4th, against Derby County. That's followed up Saturday, April 8th, at home against Ipswich Town. Next Saturday after that is April 15th. We're on the road against Norwich City. Only a few days later, Monday, April 17th, we are home against Aston Villa. Then the following Saturday, April 22nd, we are on the road at Huddersfield Town. And we end the month of April, Saturday, April 29th, at home against Brentford. The final match of the season is on the road, Sunday, May the 7th, at Hillsborough against Sheffield Wednesday. Mike, I spoke too soon when I asked you the question earlier. This has to be the hardest part of the fixtures on the face of it.
Yeah, it is. Can I just quickly go back, though, Russ, just to the FA Cup and dates? Because I just checked.
Sure.
Yeah, David's right. The game is usually clear on the fourth round, and that's the Blackburn Rovers game. So that's very odd from the FA doing that. And that only will add to more fixtures later in the calendar if teams, you know, go through. And one of the things that stand out, Russ, for March, April and May is the amount of games in April.
Yep.
Seven games in 29 days. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And you look back in March, you have four games. You had November, you only have three games. Now, I know you have international dates and things like that, but why they seem to have backloaded the fixtures in this way is just going to cause, I think, you know, if you have a bad winter, cup runs, fixture congestion, I can just see it. But I just wanted to comment on that. But yeah, March, April, so the running, basically. I mean, got a couple of home games to begin with, Preston and Leeds. You've got to hope you're going to pick something from that. But then, for me, the worst run is this seven-game run where you've got Newcastle, Wolves, Rotherham, you know, Ray of Light, Derby, Ipswich, Norwich and Villa. You know,
oh,
I mean, what a run that is. And that's why, you know, you've got these two windows, beginning of the season, beginning of the new year, where you've got to accumulate points because, you know, worst case scenario, if we play anything like we did next season, like we did the season just gone, you know, you're looking at picking up, if you're lucky, four points from that. If, you know, a win and a draw somewhere, maybe another draw. But, yeah, and then you've got three games, Huddersfield away, not going to be easy. Brentford at home, Derby, and, of course, Wednesday we're in the playoffs. So, yeah, that is...
That's hard, man. That's hard.
Those last 10 games is, you know, and if you're at the top of the table, if we are in top six place with those 10 games left, we still would need to get, you know, 15 to 20 points from those to maintain staying in the top six. So, you know, it really is bag the points and hang on by our fingernails, I reckon, come the end of the season. Or if we're at the other end, it's bag the points and just pray we've got enough more than three other teams.
Okay, and, you know, it's funny because I really, you know, I give you credit, Mike. You did a good job of breaking this down. But when you really look at when I'm saying it, when I'm going through it, and I look at that stretch, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
David, what are your thoughts about these last 3 months?
You know, I mean, there's some tough big names in there. The Preston and Leeds matches at home are both winnable. So, you know, weather the storm, you know, get the points in the bag early because then Newcastle away, tough one. Wolves at home, potentially tough. Rotherham away, easy one of the spell, I think. And then after that, Derby away, tough. Ipswich at home, tough. And then we have the Easter weekend, of course. And again, I don't know if they're going to move one of these just to kind of because of TV or something else. But as it stands, we've got Norwich away on the Saturday and then Villa at home on the Monday. Doesn't get much tougher than that, not really. Huddersfield away, slightly easier perhaps. Brentford at home, who knows? Sheffield Wednesday away. You know, just imagine Sheffield Wednesday are looking in the situation to get promoted. You know, they're going to be up for that one or to make the playoffs. And if we are at the wrong end of the table, God help us, really. But, you know, as Mike said, you know, well, we might only pick up 4 points here. That's true. And the Fulham of last season probably would do. But, you know, Fulham have a mission and an ambition, apparently, to get back to the Premier League. So, whether we see this next year, I don't know. But, you know, this will be a good sign. And as Mike rightly said, even if we're there or thereabouts, you know, we're going to have a storming time, you know, in that period. Those 7 games in April, as you say. I mean, March is, you know, an easier month by comparison. We only have the 4 matches.
Yeah.
I guess
April's
the last Saturday in March must be an international weekend because there's no fixture there. So calm before the storm, really, there. You know, all guns blazing. Let's hope that, you know, we have, you know, a fit squad still at that point because, obviously, the running is going to be key to whether we stay in the division or whether we're able to challenge to leave the division.
It's, you know, it's fascinating to see how the end of the season breaks down because, like Mike said, you know, we have to have a good amount of points heading in to you know, March is easier, but they have to have a good amount of points regardless. You know, situation, if they want top six, if they're in position, they have to have a good amount of points there. And then let's not even talk about a relegation battle, but let's be honest. Let's say it's there. You better have enough points because that end of the run is going to be very difficult based on the fixtures, the way they fall here. It's the end of the season and the second part of the first half of the season are very difficult. So I think it's fairly safe to say, David, that you agree that the end of the season is the hardest part of the schedule, the fixtures?
Certainly that bit there is, you know,
okay.
It's not just about the fact of who we're playing,
yeah.
But it's the fact of the 7 matches as well
okay.
in the 28 days 28-day yeah. span of April. So, yeah, because we have the two midweek matches and the, of course, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Saturdays. Is that right? Am I going mad? 5 Saturdays, of course, and 2 midweek matches. So, yeah, 7 games in a 4-week spell. So, you know, you need to have a fit squad for that, as well as, you know, a mentally fit squad, I guess, you know, not just physically yep. fit, but, you know, the morale needs to be up if you want to be competing.
I totally agree, David. Great analysis by the two of you. Mike, I'm going to change what I planned. I said, well, what's the easiest part of the schedule? And both of you have really analyzed that there really is no easy part because there's no easy opponent. It's difficult. So I'm going to change it a little bit and ask you, where is the best parts of the season to, I guess you could say, for Fulham to get points, that you feel that this is where they need to get points? I think you're going to already say this, but is it safe to say it's the first part of the season and the first part of 2017?
It's safe to say. Yeah, it is. It's the first 12 games of the season and the first 12 games after Christmas. You know, it's half a season, and it's the, you know, when you compare it to, I really can't stress to people, just list the teams in an order you think they're going to finish, and you'll be tearing your hair out looking at it going, you know, whatever you think about Brentford, Cardiff and that, they should be doing better than where I've listed them, but you can't fit them in because potentially there are so many clubs that are going to be competing for that top six. And any team, any team that has that run in, you know, those 7 games we listed, would look at that and go, Christ, that's hard. You know, you know, if it was Sheffield Wednesday looking at that, if Wednesday's fans are looking at that going, you know, that's a difficult run, because we don't know what Villa are going to be. And there is an argument to say that they're going to be, you know, they've got a manager, but have they got any, you know, money? You know, is their morale going to be like ours when we came down? Are they going to have to shed a load of players? So they're the real unknowns. But we know Newcastle are going to be challenging, Norwich, you know, Derby, Ipswich Town, maybe not good enough for a playoffs, but they'd be top 8, top 9 probably. And, you know, that is going to be so hard. And so for me, those half the games, that half the season there, we have to be looking at getting, you know, from 24 games, you usually need 2 points a game to be champs. Okay, I'm not saying we're going to be champs, but we need to bank out of those 24 games probably something like 50 points, 55 points, because they, you know, and that's what you're going to need. And then you pick up the rest off the other half of the games against the tougher sides.
Yeah. It's funny because that's, you know, I know you're a fan of baseball as well, Mike, and that's kind of how it works in baseball. You know, baseball, you know, you beat up on the lesser opponents. And again, it's difficult here because everyone that Fulham are facing, you know, everyone's fairly even. Again, the teams are still building, but it's difficult no matter what way you look at it. I'm glad that you've analyzed the two parts of the season where Fulham need to pick up points. I'll put it that way. They need to pick up points there. All right, guys, let's end with just your thoughts overall on the fixtures. And, David, what is the match you're most looking forward to or a few?
I think for most people it's the first match of the season, really. You just want to get the season to get underway, you know, see if your hopes are going to be fulfilled or not, find out what sort of team we've got, you know, how different they are from next season, from last season, you know, how well they play together, the tactics, everything, really. So for me, I think the first match is the match which sets the stall for the whole season.
Okay, excellent. Mike, how about you?
I have to agree with Dave. I mean, you know, it's the biggest game of the season and it's the first game. I will say I always like going to Norwich away, so I'm looking forward to that later in the year. And the only game I'm going to miss because I'm in America is Brighton away. And after the last the last game, I'm very happy to give that game a pass.
Well, around that period of time, Mike, I'm going to be seeing you, but I think you're going to be in New Orleans around that time, correct?
Yes, I will be, yeah.
Okay. But I get to see you before that. I'm looking forward to meeting you, my friend. I want to end just by mentioning that I met a Fulham supporter last night. He gave me these two books, and Fulham, A Complete Record, 1879, almost 1979, another Goldman there, 1879 to 1987 by Dennis Turner and Alex White, and another book, Ashworth Death Diary, 2012. So thank you very much, David Swery, for meeting me. We talked for like 2.5 hours, obviously talked a great deal about Fulham, and I'll get to do that again with you, Mike, in November. I look forward to it. That should be fun. Mike, any final thoughts before we go? This has been a great show. Thank you so much for doing it.
I've enjoyed it, and I enjoyed actually sort of breaking it down and looking at things. We're not really going to know where we are. We're going to watch teams buy people, sell players, and then, you know, there's 5 games until the end of the transfer window as well. So, you know, there's a lot of work for us to do, as we all know. But I just go back to the fact that it's the first game against the favourites on TV. I can only hope that the club are now focused on making sure that we have a team ready for that game. And that's all we can hope for, I think.
I'm there with you 100%, Mike. They need to be ready, very ready for that match. It could set the tone for the entire season. I can't believe I'm saying that because it's the first match, but it really could. If you win that or even get a draw, people will be thinking a little bit different about Fulham at that point. I know it's early on, but that's how big that match is. David, final thoughts.
Well, it's not just about saying, well, this is an easy block of fixtures, this is a harder block of fixtures. We need to pick up all our points here. It's about picking up points regularly, of course. We need to be doing that throughout the season.
That's a good point.
As Mike said, you need an average of 2 points a game if you want to be champion. If you lose 10 games, then you need to win the next God knows how many to get back to your average. It gets harder and harder and harder. So we need to be picking up points regularly, from day one, really. The better we start, the easier we make the job for ourselves, and the better chances we have of success. But, you know, it's not going to be an easy season, I don't think. We can't take anything for granted. But Slavisa got, you know, Watford promoted. He's been brought in to do the same for us. So don't rule anything out either. I think it's going to be hard, but not impossible. So, you know, it's about who we bring in, when we bring them in, and how well they fit the cause. And I think over the coming weeks we'll probably have other shows to talk about new signings, etc., and sort of work out whether we're happy with these or not. But I think at the moment it's not so much about the quality, it's actually about quantity. We actually feel there's a need to get a good quantity of players in. It's all very well going if we go out and get 4 really, really good players, but I think most people would agree that it's not enough. We probably would. We want to get 8, you know, average players or, you know, reasonable players, than 4 really good players. So it's a little bit about quantity over quality as well at this stage. But obviously there has to be enough quality there in the long run as well. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be a bad season again for us.
Okay. You know, I was about to say negative David walked away for about a couple minutes and you were being sensible, but then you had to end there, David. You had to, you know, I was all excited. You finally, like, came to the middle a little bit, but then you ended there. David, your commentary about quantity, I think the quantity is going to be there, and but you're talking about quality. What I'm looking for, and I'll just end the show by saying this, my final thought is I know we're going to get players. I know we're going to get players. I'm waiting just like everyone else. I'm impatient just like everyone else. I'm looking for the right players. I'm sick and tired of getting the wrong players. Brian Ruiz, ton of money for him, wrong player. Kostas Mitroglou, looked like he was going to be a good player for us, injured when he came to us, wrong player. How many times have we seen players come to us, we're thinking, wow, this is a good player. I said that about Tim Ream. I said that about Richard Stearman. Okay, right now, after last season, not the right players. Maybe they'll be better this season if they're with us. But Fulham need to bring in the right players to play the way Slavica Jokanović wants to play. They need to tailor the team for what he wants in this transfer window. It's got to be to fit him, and he needs say in that. I know it's a group decision. We've already talked about it. It's probably a group decision. But they need to find players for Slavica Jokanović and find the right ones, because I'm sick of the wrong ones. And, David, I've said this to you before. You were right, and I was wrong. We've had a bunch of the wrong players last season. It's time to get the right ones in. All right. That's what I'm going to end with. But, listen, great show. Great show. David, before we go, I hope you feel better.
Thanks, Russ. It's a matter of time with these colds, but, yeah, I'm sure I'll be fine.
Well, thank you. Thank you for hanging in there during the show. You were fantastic, as always. And, Mike, I can never say enough good things about you, because I love having you on. Thank you, as always, Mike, for joining me tonight.
Yeah, no problem, Russ. And, Dave, the polls have closed now, so it's out of our hands, and no hard feelings over the to-ing and fro-ing.
You're only saying that because it looks like you're going to win narrowly, I think.
Okay,
I don't know.
I thought we could get through a full show without talking about it, but it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. The polling's over, so the votes are in. So I guess we'll find out shortly, guys, which side won. All right, but it's time to wrap up Cottage Talk. For Mike and David, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, guys. Have a great night.
Cheers, Mike.
Cheers, Mike. Cheers, Russ. See ya.
Boys.